Well, Jackie Road is just a place where we can have some fun. Well, I'm having fun at Jackie Road, doing cool interviews and writing songs.
Hey, this is Jackie Road Studios. This is last week's song, In Full, inspired by my chat with Matty O'Gorman. This is called the British India Song.
All British India are rolling into town. They need a support band and they're looking around for a band like yours to fill the position. There's just one condition. British India didn't bring a guitar, so they'll need your drums and they'll need your amps. If you don't let them have your instruments, we'll have to find another band. Well, I don't think I need to say take up your shoes, and if you choose not to give them to the band, then understand, we gotta find another band. British India like the look of your clothes, they wanna wear your clothes at their own shows. So take off your shirt, take off your pants, or we'll look for other bands. Well, I don't think I need to say this is a great. Try to book a hotel, but they're all booked out. Couldn't you make up a bed on the couch? Well, actually, British India have bad backs, and sleeping on the couch ain't good for that. If they're not lying perfectly flat, they're doomed. They're better off sleeping in your room. So strip the sheets and make the bed. Milo, and please pop up their pillow. Can you tuck them in and make sure they're warm after you put their jammies on? And British India would like a kiss on the head. They want to hear a story before going to bed, and sometimes they can get a little scared. So could you
yes, I loved making that song. That's called the British India Song. It's available now, streaming on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you can stream. It's on YouTube as well. And I'm really excited to take you through the making of that song, because as you might have heard, compared to the other weeks, the production values of that song have really increased. And that's because I had a lot of help with it. I'll take you through that momentarily. But first, I got some exciting news about the world's fastest guitar. People who are fans of the Hamish and Andy show might know that when we're in the band, Cool Boys and the frontman, with Hamish on drums, Andy on guitar or bagpipes or trumpet, his instrument kept changing. Mine didn't. I had the electric guitar, and I was very lucky that before we went on tour, the great legends at Yamaha sent me a guitar, and I became an unofficial ambassador of Yamaha guitars. They never asked me to be an ambassador of Yamaha guitars, but they did, for free, for nothing, just to play it on stage, send me a Yamaha guitar. True fans of the show would understand that Hamish and Andy are comedians, and they make jokes. And they, a very funny joke would be to see the world's, what is obviously the world's fastest guitar, a Yamaha, and then call that guitar slow, because it's the opposite of what it really is. They're comedians, that's a joke, that's something funny to them. But we all know, everybody knows, Yamaha are actually the fastest guitars in the world, not the slowest. So anytime you see something on my Instagram where people are commenting about a slow guitar or on Hamish and Andy's clips of the band saying, oh, the guitar's a little slow, that's people just having fun getting involved in the joke. Because, of course, they all know Yamaha are the world's fastest guitars. Now, where does that leave us? Well, I hinted that a massive guitar company was in touch with the show in talks about giving away a guitar to one of the listeners of the podcast. I was enjoying the dialogue I was having with this guitar company, and then all of a sudden, they go silent. Uh-oh. They don't want to be part of the show anymore. They don't want to give you, at home, you listening right now, actually you, a guitar. Until this week, what do I see in my email? Yamaha, the makers of the world's fastest guitars, are going to give a listener of this show a goddamn brand new guitar.
It's a celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. Let's celebrate. Come on now.
Celebrate. I honestly can't believe it.
Let's celebrate.
So I reached out to Yamaha and said, hey, can I make good for the fact that everybody who listens to the Hamish and Andy show now align the idea of having a Yamaha guitar with having a slow guitar? Please let me make good and talk about them on the show. So this is completely non-sponsored. I don't get anything from this. I get no kickback from this. All we get as a show is a brand new Yamaha guitar. It's an RS720B. Man, this thing honestly looks sexy. It's so cool. It's worth over $1,500. I can't believe I'm giving away this on the show. So stay tuned to the episode. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to give it away yet, but at the end of the series, and I'm still deciding whether I'm going to do 10 songs or 12 songs, so somewhere between 20 and 24 episodes, because there's a song every second week. On the last episode, I'm going to give away this Yamaha guitar, the RS720B. It looks awesome. Have a look at it. And there's a very possible chance that you could win this, because there's not an insane, huge listenership to this podcast. You know, if you're listening to this, I really appreciate your support. It's very possible that you could win this guitar. Even if you don't play guitar, honestly, it would look cool on your wall, or bloody hell, everyone's in lockdown. Take up a new hobby and play the guitar. I'm so excited to give this away. I haven't decided how people will enter yet, but I'm thinking maybe some sort of raffle ticket system if your emails get on the show or if you cover any songs on the podcast. I want to incentivize people for contributing to the show. And to people who have contributed so far, and plenty of emails coming in this week at jackyroadstudios@gmail.com, you will be, I won't forget you. You're the true fans because you contacted the show before there was a big juicy prize to give away. I'll think of the fairest way to give away this guitar. I'm so excited. They're sending it to me in a couple of weeks. It's awesome. Remember, wherever you go, Yamaha are the world's fastest guitars. And if you see any comments on my Instagram calling the guitar slow or making a joke about how slow the guitar is, please combat it with some sort of comment about how we all know the Yamaha's actually very fast guitars, the world's fastest goddamn guitars. The RS720B, look it up. It's sexy.
How did he make it? How did he make it? How did he make it? Oh, he's gonna tell you.
So as I said, I had a lot of help with the song this week, and it just sounded awesome. So I won't spend too much time on the parts that I did, essentially, because in a moment I'm going to talk to the guy who helped me mix the song and make it sound awesome. And actually, in the end, he ended up doing most of the guitar parts and the bass as well. But this is where I'll just quickly show you where I started. Let's not take too long on this week. First thing, I like to start with the first thing I put in voice notes, because it's a good way to look back on it and see what it became. So this is very different to what the final song was, but this is just playing with lyrics the first time I did this last week.
Oh, British India, they wanna wear your pants. Yeah, they wanna wear your pants, take your pants.
was just me mucking around with different lyrics, and like, I love the idea of like British India overreaching on requests to their support bands, and that was just kind of, you know, free flowing it. And then this is what I put into the first session in Logic, which is just the, again, acoustic in my vocals.
All British India are rolling into town. They need a support band and they're looking around.
That's the guitar coming out the left-hand side only. And then as I hit into the second verse, they all go both sides.
And for a band like yours to fill the position, there's just one condition. British India didn't bring a guitar, so they'll need your drums and they'll need...
Cool. So this is, even though I knew, like, I would love to have a full band playing this song, I just still don't have really the capabilities to turn that around in a week. But this legend reached out to the show, Kai Smith, and said, hey, if you ever need drums on a song, let me know. And he had actually heard the episode where I referenced, I think it might have even been episode 1 or 2, where I said some of my favorite bands, NoFX, Green Day, Blink-182, and I said Goldfinger. And the reason I said Goldfinger, and people would know Goldfinger, especially if they're Tony Hawk's fans, from this song... I mean, I loved this song so much. And Goldfinger, I'd been watching the lead singer John Feldy on Instagram. They've been doing a whole lot of clips in quarantine of their songs where, you know, he's in his studio, home studio, the guitarist is in their home, the drummer's in their home, etc., etc. I'd just been watching them, and that's why they came to mind when I was saying bands that I loved. So Kai reached out. He's a drummer from Newcastle and said, hey, I'll drum on one of your songs if you ever need it. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then I clicked through to his Instagram, right, to see what kind of stuff he's done. And there he is in one of the clips of Goldfinger playing these quarantine sessions of their songs. He's drumming in the clip. This is Goldfinger a million miles in quarantine with Kai Smith on the drums. The same drummer who drummed on this week's song. Awesome. That's Kai there in action with Goldfinger. I couldn't believe it. So, of course, I was like, yes, please drop on the song. Here is what Kai sent back. And keep this in mind. I didn't play this to a click track or anything. So, my version, which let me just mute the drums again. My version.
All British India are rolling into town.
Is not in time officially. Like, it's not played to a metronome. It's imperfect. You know, you wouldn't be able to tell, but it's not perfect. And even though it wasn't perfect, he was able to drum along and make it sound awesome.
All British India are rolling into town. They need a support band and they're looking around for a band like yours to fill the position. There's just one condition. British India didn't bring a guitar.
So that's cool. But it sounds, now that I had the drums sent back to me, it just sounded way too cutesy with the acoustic guitar and the drums on their own. So I was like, oh, Kai's inspired me now to do this one properly and like try and get all the instruments in there. So I was about to go back and record all the next bits myself, not really knowing how to make it sound awesome, because as I said in one of the previous episodes, I try to make like a rock and roll or punk version of one of the songs, the very first one, the Con Air song, and I just really couldn't do it well, and it sounded lame and tacky rather than sounding cool, so I ended up going back to the acoustic guitar where I feel comfortable. Anyway, Kai then puts me in touch with a mate of his who used to be in a band with him called Michael Fefoglia. He calls himself Fef. Kai says, well, reach out to Fef. Not only does he play guitar and bass, but he also used to mix our band, and he does really awesome mixes of punk rock songs. So I talked to Fef. He worked his magic on it. He practically took this from what you hear here. And he turned it into this.
Great opportunity for your band.
British India. So I'm about to get Feff on the phone who did that mix. I want to thank Kai so much, not only for doing the drums, but putting me in contact with Feff. His drumming is awesome. Check him out on Instagram, Kai Smith, with a little underscore at the end of Smith. Look for Kai Smith or kaismith.com. And he does drum tracks for you as well. So if anybody's looking for somebody to do really reasonably priced drum tracks for your song and they sound awesome, kaismith.com. You can find his details there. But let's get Feff up on the line and hopefully he can tell us how he worked his magic on the British India song.
How did you work your magic on this one?
Well, Feff is joining me now over the video chat. How are you, Feff?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Yourself?
Yeah, good. And thank you again for coming on board this week to make this song sound so awesome. I've already chatted about it a little bit, but I wanted to break down a couple of the things with you. After Kai added the drums to it, you ended up taking what I had, which was just vocals and acoustic guitar, dumping out the acoustic and then putting in bass and a rhythm guitar and a lead guitar.
Yeah.
I reckon for this week, let's just park drums aside. There's so, like, because you've got each individual item of the drum kit isolated and there's a lot there. Let's assume that the drums sound great and you've started with the drums, you've got them where you wanted. Where do you then go from there? So you've got my vocal, you've got Kai's drums, and then you end up putting in the bass and guitars. How do you approach just the arrangement of that?
Okay, so I guess, like, in this case, I just listened to your acoustic track and I played along with it a few times just to get the feel and just a general vibe on what was happening.
Yep.
And I kind of went, okay, I'm listening to the drums and I'm going, okay, what can I do? What can I sort of lock in with that? So I just had to play around. It was a bit of experimentation. And then I got a general vibe of each section. I went, okay, that bit will sound good palm muted. That'll sound good open. And I did the rhythm tracks first. So just a couple runs through and then I just got a nice take of each.
Yeah, let's have a quick listen to some of that because what you've done well, I reckon, is giving it a bit of difference every time. So here is the very start of the song, sounds like this on guitar. That's coming out just the left-hand side.
Yep.
And then it comes in together. And when you're doing that, are you just playing that same thing twice, panning one hard left, panning one hard right?
Exactly.
Yep. So let's jump into the second verse then, and it sounds like this. So it's the same chords and everything, but just a different feel with the palm mute?
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Third one, something different again. That's really cool, especially what's coming out the left-hand side there.
Yeah.
And is the idea just to keep more interest in the song as you go through it? Because it's not a very complex song. It just goes A, B, A, B, A, B.
I just thought, you know, I sort of look at it overall and go, I want each verse or section to have its own thing going on. So, you know, just to keep the listener interested and, you know, it's always changing and moving. So I sort of had that vision from the start. I always sort of go with that kind of vibe.
Yeah, cool. But the choruses are pretty standard, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the chorus is a bit more like, you know, I'm going to keep them kind of similar. I think that your vocal is kind of the focus there. I try not to overtake that with too much guitar.
Cool. Can I pick out a bit that I love what you did with it?
Sure.
This little bit here.
Could you get British India a warm cup of Milo? And please pop up the pillow. Can you tuck them?
So on its own, that sounds like this. I really love that when I heard it. It's like, I feel like that was attention to detail that I really appreciated that you put in there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that little section there too.
Yeah.
I guess I just heard Kai's drums. I heard your vocal and it's actually a really funny line. And I thought, you know what, it'd be cool to do something different there, like sort of break apart from the the general structure of the chords previously in the song and just do something like, you know, like a descending kind of chromatic sort of scale thing. And I don't know. I just went, okay, this will work. And I just had a go and it just, it come together.
Very cool, man. So then it takes us to the lead guitar. And I reckon this is something I've neglected when I've tried to make punk rocky type songs, and I've done it a couple of times and really hated what I've made because it just sounded flat for the, you know, because I love those kind of bands, and then what I would make just didn't sound anything like it. I probably neglected this idea of the lead guitar a little bit. Let me play a couple of bits and then we can talk about it. So this in the chorus without it, it sounds like this. Another band. And then this is adding that lead guitar line in. And just to isolate that so people can hear what's happening. That's just all on one string, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just an octave chord. Yeah, so I just do an octave kind of chord there. And that was it, really. That one's funny. I kind of experimented with a few different lines, but I ended up going with someone that was pretty simple, especially in a chorus like that, where it's the, you know, you really want to hear your vocals carrying the melody. And I don't want to sort of, I want to complement that, not, take away from it.
Sure. So then each of the verses as well has these nice little like lead guitar bits on top of the other guitar. But in the first verse, there's just this nice open chord like this. And I mean, it's really subtle when you hear it in the whole thing. But it does add nice colour, doesn't it?
It does. I guess it's, you know, I like those cool little effects that, I guess when you listen to, you know, a song in this particular style, like from the bands that do it the best, if you really pay attention to the to what's going on, it's not just two guitars, a bass and drums. There are other things going on. There's, you know, extra guitars here and there that pop out, and they just it's like the icing on the cake kind of deal.
Yeah, where right.
It once again keeps a listener interested. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
So there's some bits where I really love that I thought, oh, you must have brought up the volume of the guitar, but I think it's just then the two guitars playing together. So at the end of this line, say, it feels like the guitar gets louder. But they're all booked out. Couldn't you make up a bed on the couch? That little bit there. On the couch. But that's not the, you're not boosting the guitar signal, are you? You're just playing it twice with the lead guitar on top of the rhythm guitar.
Yeah, it's pretty much just, I think it's just the arrangement of the guitar there. It's just basically, I think it's just the way I played it, where I sort of had that vision once again at the end of that section. I was like, boom, that's, you know, I want to bring it in with impact. Yeah, it's more of a dynamic thing.
Yeah, I reckon I learned a lot from seeing what you've done with this song in terms of dynamics in the actual playing, because a lot of what I guess I believed is like, oh, you make a song sound cool by bringing in just the basics and then putting all your compressors and EQs and amp sims on it, and then it'll sound awesome. But it's actually a lot of what you did in the recording that is the little elements that make it cool.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's, you know, like a lot of producers and sound engineers say, you know, you've got to get it right at the source, and an arrangement is actually really important. So before, you know, things like compression and EQ, it's definitely the stuff that goes on before that. That's the most important.
Cool. Well, let's go quickly. Let's not take too much time on the bass, but just tell me quickly what you did with the bass, because you've got three bass tracks here, but they're all the same copy-pasted, aren't they? And then you've just done different things to them?
Exactly. It's like a blend. So I have, yeah, usually, you know, in a mix, anywhere between two and four, but in this particular case, three tracks, and I treat them all differently. So I've got a bass DI, so it's just direct in, and then I've got like a have one with an amp sim on it, and then I have one that's a bit dirtier. And it's kind of, you know, usually it sounds pretty ugly by itself and a bit extreme, but I blend that in. So basically it's just blending those three sources into a sub-mix. That's pretty much it. It depends on the, once again, it depends on the guitar tone.
All yeah. right, this is what the three basses mixed together sounds like. Which I wouldn't have known. If you had just given me that on its own, I would have just thought that was one type of amp yeah. that you put it through or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound... I guess it just sounds like a bass tone that sounds like it's been played through a nice bass amp. But you still want to hear the character of the bass. And it's interesting. I find bass is actually the hardest part of the mix.
Right. I feel like the stuff I've done so far, I feel like I either make it too low a bass, and I mean low not in volume, but too much like you have to have really good speakers to hear that it's actually there. Or yeah. I make it too light and then it doesn't actually fill up the song. It just feels like, you know, a little bit of a lower guitar part.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly the struggle that I think a lot of sound engineers have, mm-hmm. including myself, at different times. And to also another important thing is to reference. So referencing other, you know, pro-level mixes in comparison to yours is helpful as well to get that low end right.
So where would someone get a pro end mix where you can isolate tracks and see what people have done?
Oh, it's not so much I don't have anything that's separated. It's more just literally, you know, a song, you know, I might pull it off iTunes or something, and it's just, you just listen to the whole song in its entirety. Once again, especially the bass, it's all about context. So that's definitely not an instrument I will solo by itself. I'll listen to it in the mix and then I'll compare it to another mix and I'll go, you can sort of tell like when it's out of control and mm-hmm. you're like, wow, I've put way too much low end in there or a little bit too much low end or not enough. So it's about just listening back and forward to it. Another mix that's obviously of a similar genre, sort of A, B in the two, you know what I mean?
Cool. All right, man. Well, there's so much for me to take away from this and to learn. It did two things. It made me thrilled to hear how good something that I wrote could sound, but it also made me disappointed to feel how far I was away from knowing how to make it sound like that myself. But yeah, I'm so glad you came on board, man. It sounds fantastic.
No worries, man. My pleasure.
Cool. All right, Feff. Well, thanks for being part of the show today, and thank you for doing this mix.
Anytime.
Cool. All right. Have a great day.
All right, thanks, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
It's time to read your emails.
All right, an absolute bumper edition of the emails this week. I won't be able to do, I mean, there's so many good ones. I think I'll end up splitting this over two parts, but... What I got so many great emails about, and thank you to everybody who sent an email to jackierodestudios@gmail.com this week, was I was talking about living for little moments in songs. They're the subtle bits, not the big chorus and not the big hook, but just subtle bits of songs that when you know they're coming, you start to anticipate them. The one that Maddie O'Gorman from last week's episode reminded me of is this part in Life is a Highway by Tom Cochrane, where he's got, it's sitting even in the background, where he's got this scream. Listen to this. Honestly, I can listen to it 100 times. You heard me rave about it last week. I just love that. Listen out for that scream in the background. And then next time you hear Life is a Highway on the radio, about 3/4 of the way through, anticipate this bit and turn it up. So So you had so many good examples of bits in songs like this, one-off bits in songs, that you just wait the whole song and go, oh, no, my favorite bit is coming. I'm going to split it up over two episodes. So maybe I'll do a bunch today, and then in the next making of episode, I'll do a bunch more of your emails. But let's jump straight into it. The first one is from Cameron DeCosta. Yo, Jack, All I Wanted by Paramore is my song. It's just before the last chorus. Now, I don't... I know Paramore, obviously. I know Hayley Williams, the singer of Paramore, but I would only know the radio track. So forgive me that I don't know this song, Cameron, All I Wanted by Paramore. It's just before the last chorus and all the instruments go silent and all you can hear is Hayley Williams' voice killing it. It still gives me shivers when I hear it. This just shows how her voice is so big and powerful. It's one of my favorite songs of all time just because of this part. All right, let's have a listen to All I Wanted. This is just before the part that Cameron's talking about. That is awesome. Holy shit. That is like, you know what? That draws parallels to that Tom Cochran, like, hitting that huge note and then even going a little bit higher than that. That's awesome. Cam, that is awesome. I've never really given much time to Paramore. I knew Hayley Williams was a great singer, but that is awesome. I love that. Thank you, Cam. This is from Nathan Barry. Nathan, you're speaking straight to my heart. Green Day, Jesus of Suburbia. He said, there is so many songs I have but particular moments for, but this one in Jesus of Suburbia, Trey Cool's four drum fills between a minute 26 and a minute 50. All right, let's jump into that part of the rock opera, 9-minute rock opera that is Jesus of Suburbia. That is awesome. I love that so much. That is so cool. I'm going to bring up another Green Day song that I love called Burnout, which is the opening track of Dookie. Trey Cool almost gets a really similar couple of drum solos in it where all the music stops, highlight the drum solo, and I think there's four of them. Let's have a listen to Burnout, Green Day. Yeah. That is awesome. I love that so much. Nathan, thanks so much for your email. The next one comes in from Judd Speedy. Kia ora, Jack. Ah, my first ever New Zealand fan to the podcast. Kia ora, Judd Speedy. There's this moment in an Atari song that I live for, and I'm really not sure why. It's at the start of the second verse of the song, All You Can Ever Learn Is What You Already Know. Yeah, the Ataris, let me bring up that song. While I do, I'll tell you about the Atari song I know, because I don't know much of their back catalog, but I used to love, I guess it was on a compilation, San Dimas High School Football Rules. And this song, Teenage Riot by the Ataris. So I do dig the Ataris. Let's have a listen to Judd's part in this song. All You Can Ever Learn Is What You Already Know off the album So Long Astoria. And we're listening out for the line, fell in love with his keener waitress. They honeymooned in Memphis. Judd says, I'm not sure what it is, but it just sounds so satisfying to my ears. It might be the lyrics or the filter on the drums or a combination of both. Let's have a listen. I love that, Judd. I love it because it's exactly what I was talking about. Those moments in song, like, that's not the hook of the song, but it's just a really cool bit. And you're right, the filter of the drums. Anytime, I said this last week, didn't I, with Life is a Highway, anytime you pull other instruments out and you just leave the drums, I mean, there is a guitar in here as well, but anytime you pull the instruments out, then bring them back in, you always win. Well done, Judd Speedy. Thank you. Rowena Davis says, hey, Jack, surely everyone lives for the drum bit in Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. This has to be the pinnacle of this, doesn't it? He makes you wait. She says here, pretty late in the song, 3:15 in. So around the 2-minute mark, I start anticipating the drums coming in. Yeah, this is Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight. 3 minutes before you get that satisfying drum beat. Let's have a listen. And also, I bet if you asked 100 people, most of them would say the drums come in way earlier than this. Most of the song is without the drums. Just like this. Here we go. So satisfying. And Ro, you're right, that is one of the more obvious ones, but it has to be featured in this, doesn't it? Because it is the classic example. And then this last one, I love this. Nathan Bain wrote in and said, all he said, this is the only thing he wrote in his email. Hi, Jack. The link to the YouTube clip and then 1:45 to 2 minutes, specifically 1:53. So when he sent the email, I didn't even know what song it was until I clicked on it. As soon as I saw what song it was, I was like, I know exactly which bit Nathan's chosen here. Have a listen. It's Faith No More, Easy. The breakdown. Ew. Yeah. I love that so much. So this is from 1:45, the breakdown. Mike Patton. That is awesome. That is a cover of a Commodore song. I honestly think that is my favorite cover song of all time. Faith No More, Easy. Nate, thank you for sending that in. I loved all the emails I got this week because it was so popular and I've got so many more. Why don't we do a part two on the next Making Of episode? Don't forget, the Yamaha Revstar RS720B could be yours. World's fastest guitars.